Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the Bald Face Truth.
Big hour of radio in front of us. We're going to start it off with Nick Daschle of the Oregonian. Anna will be popping in later. Daschle is versatile. I don't know if you knew that. If you're not reading Nick Daschle on Oregon Live, you obviously don't know what's going on with Oregon State. But he also has a deep and rich history with prep sports in the region and has a lot of institutional knowledge. Joining us now. Is that what they say around your household when you walk in, your kids go, "Hey, there's Dad. He's got the institutional knowledge around here."
No, they just want to know where my wallet is. That's pretty much what they want to know.
You are the voice of reason when it comes to a lot of things at Oregon State. I want to talk about that with you. We'll get to the Beavers. I want to talk first, though, about high school sports in the region. We've watched California and Washington and Idaho making decisions. Is there anything new when it comes to high school football or what's going to happen with the Oregon high school football season?
Well, the OSA's executive board has been meeting since Monday. Today's the last day of their annual 3-day meeting, and usually this meeting is a lot of minutia and handbook rules and all that. But this has turned into what are we going to do with the upcoming year? And I'm supposed to find out later today if there's any big. Any revelations at all about what they're going to do with the fall. I suspect they're going to come up with something, but I think a lot of what they're, waiting for is more guidance from the governor's office as to, where kids are going to be in the fall and all that. But I thought Washington was pretty interesting and proactive with what they did with the way they designed their new schedule. And so, I mean, if Oregon was to do something like that where they were moving football to the early spring and moving the calendar back to where they're finishing up at the end of June as opposed to 1st of June, I mean, I would hope that's something Oregon's considering, something along those lines, because, boy, it doesn't look like a lot of the fall sports are going to be able to be played, at least, from the outset anyway.
Can you, if you're Oregon, play, let's just say they push it back or they do, they get a little more aggressive, which I don't anticipate. I think Governor Kate Brown probably steps in and goes, "Hey, we're not doing this." But with Washington and California and Idaho already saying, "Hey, we're going to the spring or we're pushing back," can you have high school football in one state but not another, or is that a weird thing?
Oh, I don't think just because the other states aren't doing it doesn't mean they can do what they want to do. But I think the optics are kind of bad. If a lot of the other states aren't doing it and you're the only one doing it, you'd have to have a pretty good reason, like, coronavirus doesn't exist in our state, which it does. So, as far as the bigger sports, no, I don't think you could play those really if everybody else is not doing them. Now, they could do things like golf, things that don't require a lot of, contact, those type of sports. But the big ones like football and soccer and basketball and wrestling and those type of sports, I think you gotta at least look at the optics and see, what others are doing, just so it looks like you're putting safety first, which is what they should be doing, and I feel like they are doing.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian is our guest. Demir Collins, 4-star Jefferson High School, slot guy, running back, playmaker, was on the show yesterday with me. I asked him if there's not high school football in Oregon this fall season, what is he going to do? I want to play his response to you. Here's Demir Collins.
If there might not be no football, there's a couple possibilities that can happen. I mean, it's either I could play one more year of football, I can go to a different state, or I can just say, let's get ready, get bigger, get stronger, get faster, and be ready for college.
What do you think a highly recruited player should do? Should he just get ready to go to Oregon State and go, hey, my high school career ends up being 3 years, or does he play in the spring, or should he scramble to go to, you know, let's move to Montana real quick and get some eligibility?
I think moving to another state would be difficult because every state has pretty strict eligibility rules when it comes to transfers. And, you know, the parents would have to move. I think in his case, is it a mom? I'm not positive. I think he lives with his mom, but maybe, I don't know. They'd have to move, and then they'd have to follow whatever the eligibility requirements are in that state. I think they'd be difficult. I think in his case, I would just work on getting bigger, faster, stronger, and one year. I don't think 1 year especially in his position, being a running back, I don't think 1 year of mileage is going to hurt him. So I think, you know, getting bigger, faster, stronger would be the way to go if I were him. But it just doesn't look like anybody's going to be playing high school football this fall, at least in the West.
I kind of think he's in a really interesting position, being that he would be a senior. And in our own household, we have the same case. You know, we've got a kid who's going into her senior year, and I keep thinking, like, hey, you're really fortunate that you've got this year, because I'm optimistic by the end of their senior year that we'll have some traction with a vaccine or therapeutics. Demir Collins also has a chance maybe to earn some college credit while he's doing the workouts and get ahead by taking a class he could take online as a high school senior. And then, on top of that, he has the potential for a redshirt season his freshman year at Oregon State if things are still a little murky. So he really has, like, 2+ years before it gets serious for him in a way where he's really losing eligibility.
Yeah, but, if you're an athlete, you want to play. And if there's a way to play, you know, they want to play. And I don't think the college credit thing is a big deal to them, because that – they get, you know, they go to summer school, and I don't think getting ahead in the classroom is a big deal to them, unless you have a goal of being, I don't know, a doctor or something where you need a master's and beyond. Maybe you can, you know, get a jump on your bachelor's degree and use those last 2 years to get, you know, more of what you need. But I feel for the kids right now that are going to be freshmen at, you know, going into college. That's a tough spot to be, if you ask me. I mean, I know we've talked about with my daughter, if she was going to be a freshman this year, we'd probably keep her home and she'd just go to take online classes from a JC or something, because I mean, shoot, what are you gaining by going to campus and taking all your classes on your laptop? That'd be pretty tough.
You cover Oregon State, and again, we're talking to Nick Daschle. I see the preseason watch lists are coming out. Hamika Rashid is a guy who is showing up on a lot of watch lists. Had a great season last year. Big part of a defense that everyone expects to be better. Is he getting his due finally? Is that what we're seeing?
Well, how his watch lists work. They're pretty much based on, you know, what you did the previous year and, you know, what All-American and All-Conference teams you ended up on. So, I mean, for him to land all these teams is no surprise at all. He was, you know, clearly going to be one of the top linebackers in the Pac-12, and he was the nation's leader in tackles for losses. He probably would have been the national leader in sacks, too, if he hadn't gotten hurt the last two games of last year. So, I mean, it's good notoriety for Oregon State, but it certainly shouldn't be a surprise to anyone.
You've got a couple of stories that you've written recently about Oregon State. Wayne Tinkle, obviously, he's facing a little bit different challenge. College basketball could find itself just playing after January 1. What's Wayne Tinkle saying when it comes to the upcoming season?
I think he likes the what he's got from these kids we just signed this spring. I think he likes some of the potential there, but I mean he's like all the other coaches. They just don't know. I mean this summer they're getting as much as they can get out of this summer, but it's not much. I mean they're used to playing 45 in the summer. They're used to getting them 3 times a week in the gym where they can go. Most of the time doing some individual instruction and then playing, maybe 15 minutes to a half hour of full court, basketball with some instruction. They can't do that right now. And, I mean, about the best they can hope for is maybe doing some full court five on zero drills, maybe toward the end of the summer. So they'll be quite a bit behind, and that's the case for pretty much every program. And the conditioning will be a big issue. Now they've got a lot of time to get in shape, but I mean, they're just behind on everything. And I even asked him, what do you think the product is going to look like? Because I mean, I don't think guys are going to be quite as polished going in. He thinks it'll be okay, but we'll see. I think they're going to be just like football where they're not going to have conference games. There's nothing official on that, but it would be surprising because the non-conference game started in early November. We don't even know if they'd be playing football there. They certainly would be playing basketball if there's no football in early November. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with basketball.
You had another story that was fascinating. It's one of these stories that maybe doesn't get to be told if the season is headed toward being in full swing. But you wrote about Caleb Lightborn, who is a kid from Camas High, who is a punter at Oregon State. He's dealing with some depression. How did you find this story, and what did you learn from him talking with him?
Well, I just found out about he posted something on social media with his, just briefly about what he had gone through, gaining some weight, and lying in bed most of the day, and he was had some feelings that he wasn't really sure of, and so he went and he talked to a psychologist at the University of Nebraska. They have one in their athletic department, and he was diagnosed, and that's how he worked his way out of it. He said he just felt a little off, and he wasn't sure. He said he didn't think it happened too. It happened right around the time he was benched midway through his junior year as a punter. He doesn't think it happened too much before that, but he just said something felt a little off and things weren't going quite right. So he went and got checked, and he said he did 6 months of therapy with the doctor, and he does a lot of meditation and gets his exercise in, and says he feels pretty good now. He feels, I mean, I don't know if you're ever healed from something like that, but he says he feels pretty good right now, and he kind of wants to talk about it some. He doesn't really want to go into a lot of detail because he says it's, out of respect to other people that are going through these issues, but he says he's willing to talk to people about it because he thinks a lot of people are going through it right now with, what's going on in the world with, the virus and racial inequality situations and all that. So he kind of wanted to get his story out there.
I looked up, your story caused me to look up the average height and weight of NFL punters, because he's a big kid. He's taller than 6'3", weighs about 240 plus pounds, looks like a linebacker, right? And I looked by position in the NFL. The average punter is 6'1¾", 214 pounds. Bigger than I thought. Like, I expected it to be like 6'1", maybe 200 pounds, but 215. So he's bigger than average by standards. The average linebacker, by the way, is 6'2", 244. He's right in there.
Yeah. Well, that's why when he was at Camas, his coach wanted him to play. He wanted him to play on defense, tried to talk him into it by throwing out the you know, the carrot of being able to kick a 50-yard field goal, and he just didn't quite think he wanted to do that. But so, but yeah, he, no, he admits he's a big guy. You could just tell the difference between him and all the other punters when he would punt during practice, or even a few times before games, he would go out and punt a little bit. I mean, the ball just rockets off his foot. He's got a big foot.
Appreciate you, Nick Daschle. Thank you. Keep up the fight.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, there's Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, OregonLive.com. Coming up, we've got advice for individuals who are consulting about, you know, what to do, like older individuals giving advice as a consultant to the younger generation. Plus, my wife will pop in studio, and the Culligan Water Cooler Report still ahead. You got the bald-faced truth. My wife, Anna, has popped into studio and is here to join us. She is adjusting her headset. You got it all twisted around like you're brand new to media. No, you're not even plugged in, are you?
That sounds like I am.
All right.
There I am.
There you are. It's amazing to me. You've been in this business probably 25 years.
I've only been doing radio for... How long have we been doing this now? 2 months? 3 months?
Since the beginning of Coronapalooza. So your career in radio has spanned the entire... Like, you and the virus are the same age on radio.
I've lost track of time. Like, you could tell me that we've been doing this for a year, and I'd be like, yeah, that sounds about right.
It's been 3 days.
Yeah.
Hey, but by the way, I saw a lady on social media. It's going to be the subject of the Culligan Water Cooler Report, but I want to set it up first.
Okay.
There was a post on social media. It was a older lady. She's probably somewhere between 80 and 150 years old. She's on social media. She's holding up a sign, and it was advice from an older generation.
Okay.
I really want to put the call out to listeners right now who are older than, and I hate to say older generation, but I think for the purposes of this segment, if you are 50 years old or older, you may call in. Okay? I want what piece of advice you give to the younger generation at 503-417-7575. That's 417-7575 in the 503 area code. See how slow I went with the number? My dad would scold me.
Why?
My dad says, because he's in his 70s, he says, you guys treat us like we're stupid.
He's always claiming that we're being ageist.
Yeah. He said, you treat us like we're idiots. And he goes, we have lived longer and we know more than you guys do. I want advice. And what I mean by that is the lady was holding up a sign.
Uh-huh.
And it said, this is advice from an older generation to a younger generation. Okay. So her sign said, play more Uno with your grandma.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. So what life advice do you have out there if you're older than 50 for a younger generation? 503-417-7575 is the phone number. It is part of the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Meet me at
the water cooler. Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
So let me give you some advice that I have found on the internet, the World Wide Web, as it might be referred to. And then I want listeners who are age 50 and older to call in and give advice for a younger generation. Here's something I found. Think different. Explore new ideas without bringing your old ideas along for the ride. Is that good advice from an older generation?
Without bringing the old ideas along?
Let go of your old ideas and think different.
I don't agree with that. I mean, I think it's okay to think different, but I think that every experience that you have builds on to the future.
Randy, in, I think part of being older, though, is even now I can say every decade older I am is I realize I didn't know how much a little I knew 10 years ago.
It's true.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything. I keep saying that. I didn't know anything. Now look at me. Randy's in Springfield. He's got some advice. I want you to join. We have one line open at 503-417-7575. Randy, go ahead. What advice do you have for a younger generation?
Oh, have a little patience for us older people. I'm 59. We didn't grow up with the technology that's out there today.
There you go. Have patience. What are you most frustrated by? Like, is it a phone issue or is it just in general, you know, you're dealing with technology that's unfamiliar and you're people who have been around it their entire existence are tapping their foot, folding their arms, saying, hurry up, guy.
Yes, yes. The younger generations, they want answers right now, where, you know, we grew up with, and I've heard you talk about it before, it took days to get the answer to certain information.
I appreciate that. 503-417-7575. I remember doing book reports with encyclopedias.
I was just going to say, that's what came to mind when he said that, was Encyclopedia Britannica and like looking up the answer versus just Googling it.
I remember that our encyclopedia set was missing certain volumes.
Oh, no.
Because someone in the household had taken it to like press a leaf or had taken it because they wanted to stick it underneath the like something they needed raised up.
Right.
And
right.
So you'd get home and you'd be like, my school report is on Brazil, and I go to the Encyclopedia Britannica, and I'm looking for, like, volume 3, Brazil, yeah. The bees, and I'm looking, and it's missing, and I'm like, who has the encyclopedia? And then we're going through everybody's bedroom trying to find it, but I remember having to go, and you're getting information that was probably printed, like, a decade earlier. It might not even be the current information.
It's true. I loved going to the library and checking out different types of encyclopedias and comparing the information between them when I was preparing book reports. That was fun. But I was also a nerd.
The library also had, like, I would go get Encyclopedia Brown. Like, I love reading the Encyclopedia Brown books.
Those were great.
And the library had Toad and Frog, which was another one of my favorites growing up. But I feel like today, You know better than I because you take the kids to the library.
Yeah.
Today, the library is moms who are burning time.
And some dance.
And people who have nowhere to be.
Uh-huh.
And maybe senior citizens who are like looking for a little social entertainment and some magazines.
There's actually a lot of grandmas and grandpas, you know, that are there caring for little ones too. Yeah, that are helping out.
But I don't know if kids are going to the library to research anymore.
Well, when we went to the library, they didn't have like a bunch of toys in the middle of this is a double-edged sword because it's great, you know, you want the library to be a fun place that your kid wants to go to, but somewhere along the way we started incorporating Legos and Mega Blocks and Magna Tiles into the library experience for kids, and while I'm not against that, it kind of puts the whole book thing on the back burner a little bit when you show up and that's the centerpiece of the kids section. So I'm not saying I'm criticizing it. It's just different. I didn't do that. I would, like, during the summer, my dad, I remember, would take me to the library. We would bring a cardboard box. We would load up the cardboard box with my books and I would go home and I swore to my parents that my food tasted better if I was able to read a book while I ate. And so they let me.
Yep.
And
nowadays the kids say that if they can have my iPhone and watch a Popeye episode, the food tastes better.
Right. But we try not to let them do that.
We don't let them.
Special occasions. Hypocrites. When we're desperate.
We're hypocrites.
It's different though. That's
is
screen
it?
Time.
Is it though? Isn't the iPhone the book of your generation?
I suppose, but I just, you know, you wonder what it's doing to their little brains.
Put those books away. It's not good for those book time. You know, like parents never said that. I have other advice. Edna, who's 81, says, slow down. You don't always need to be in such a hurry. Getting a lot of that. Rosemary, who's 85, says, get a good education. Stay out of trouble. Don't let the little things in life get in your way of success. And use good common sense. That's a lot of advice.
That's a lot.
94-year-old Betty says, take time to relax and sit on your fanny. I think it's interesting because you get, like, a lot of these people are near the end. Right?
Yeah.
By the time you get into assisted living, you know that you're kind of you're in the fourth quarter.
Your time
not,
is coming.
If not overtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you're there.
Right.
And to use a sports metaphor, Earl, who's 92, says, enjoy life. It's short. Do people say that all the time? Do you think people understand that even though they say it? Because you see a lot of people who devote a lot of their energy in areas that they shouldn't devote. There's just no, it doesn't make sense. It's not productive.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just had this discussion last week when we were on vacation, because I actually think Americans as a culture recreate better than many other cultures. Like, I was laughing at the number of, you know, recreational vehicles.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.